This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the August 31st edition of InvestTalk, the last day of the month. And we promote, as you know, above average investing for the average investor. As always, your questions are welcome during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave your questions in on our 24-hour listen line anytime you want. 888-99-CHART is the number, and we'll get to that in a minute. As daunting of a task as saving for a comfortable retirement is, living off your investments once you finally do retire is equally as challenging. So saving the money and then living off just the money that you have. Retiring on your dividends. That's our main talking point today. Now, before we go any further, let's go ahead and check the 24-hour listener line. See if there's a call. It's open for your questions anytime you want to ask them.
Hi, Justin and Steve. My name's Dustin, big fan of the show. I just had a quick question on in-kind transfers. I just started investing recently. I did a direct rollover with my 401k into an IRA. In addition to that, I've been investing in some equities in my taxable brokerage account. I was wondering if the new year, I'm already at my contribution limit, if I am allowed to roll over my taxable account shares into my IRA. I believe it's not allowed, but I just wanted to confirm with you guys. All right, thanks. Bye.
Yeah, you probably won't be able to do it. Remember, we're not accountants, but I'm pretty sure you won't be able to do it once you max out your contributions to your retirement accounts. You can't, get around that, skirt around it by rolling over a certain account into that, pretend that that's not a contribution when it really is. So no, I doubt it. But again, you need to talk to your accountant about that because that's kind of out of our bailiwick. Okay. With stock prices flying higher and higher, what is your strategy for the inevitable correction? I don't know when that will happen, by the way. It just will happen. That I can guarantee you. I can't tell how deep either. I don't know. I can tell you. See, this is the problem. No one knows. What we can do is look back in history and tell you the probabilities. The possibilities are limitless, the possibilities. But the probabilities we can tell you based on history. And then, there's going to be all those inevitability. You got possibilities, probabilities, and inevitability, and that is the market will go up, the market will go down, it has a bias to go up. The probabilities are that you're going to have normal 10% correction sometime soon. That's the probability. The possibility is that we may never have a correction, but that's pretty hard to believe because we've always had. Anyways, most time, you can mitigate the fall. You can hedge. You can do stuff about it. The question is, how do you know when to do that? It's very difficult. There's no bell ringing at the top or the bottom. No one does that. But, do you know what you can do? Do you know what shorting is? So you can short the market. Let's say you just don't want to take the risk of the market. Well, you can put a short on that on your position, meaning that a perfect shorting position would be you have 100 shares of Microsoft and then you add 100, you sell a short 100 shares of Microsoft. And therefore, no matter which direction it goes, you neither make money or lose money. Actually, you lose a little bit of money because it costs money to borrow the shares to sell them short. But there's a way to short and hedge against the market. The question is no one knows when to do that. We actually, in one of our accounts, we have hedges. In our main stock account, we have hedges on because that's how it's designed, try to hedge the market against fall. Other hedges, you can have a simple hedge called cash. Cash is a hedge against the market. You can just do that if you want to. But it always is difficult. If you have a long-term perspective and you're in a 401k, I wouldn't even try. Just stay with the market. Do you have questions about hedging? give me a call. Let's get back to the phone right now. Any questions you want to ask, our 24-hour listen line is always open. 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Noel, who's in Napa. How do you know?
Great. Yeah. Anyhow, I own Apple stock. I've owned it for 20 months now.
Uh-huh.
And
well, you're a happy camper.
Yeah, I'm happy. It's I have over a 60% gain, and anyhow, I haven't been thinking of selling it because it's just such an interesting company, and it's mm-hmm. in the news every day, and it's probably going to be the first $1 trillion company
probably
in the history of the world,
probably,
which is pretty interesting.
Yep,
and I'd hate to part with it actually, but. Then I think earlier this week, Tim Cook, CEO, received a huge bonus for mm-hmm. the year,
uh-huh.
and then I heard the next day or so that he sold all of his bonus. Although I suspect he's holding a lot more shares.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah, you know,
it got me to thinking. Well, when should I exit Apple?
Well,
he did to some degree.
I wouldn't worry about it too much because he exited, because that's how the CEOs do get paid a lot. And he probably already has lots of shares, and it's just prudent for him to diversify. Okay?
Right.
That's prudent.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't think I would worry about that too much. We own Microsoft. We've owned it since 2008. And the only thing we ever do is trim our position as it goes up. It gets too much, too heavy, we trim some.
Yeah, well, it's that's not been another great company, just like Apple has.
Yeah, Apple is not overpriced. If it was super expensive, then I would be a little bit more nervous. But it's not. It hasn't been for years. It's the biggest company, and it's at a bargain price. So
What would you hazard to guess would be when it would be considered overpriced? When it approaches?
If everything stayed the same, in other words, earnings stayed the same, I'd say it'd have to get up to over $200 a share.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then it'd be like 25 PE or so.
But then if earnings go up considerably along the way, then that would move up beyond 200.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because earnings will probably accelerate when they release the new phone.
Right. Well, in September, mid-September, they're going to have the big release.
They're announced, and I have a feeling that this phone is going to be a pretty good cycle, because I think there's going to be a pretty impressive upgrades. So I think.
Yeah, and then the Apple Watch is being upgraded.
Yeah, everything is. Yeah.
Their TV area hasn't been up to what they expected. I guess the TV business.
No. No, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Apple's AAPL is a symbol. Everybody, let's go to Paul in Pleasant Hill. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I went to a wedding in Pleasant Hill, so I know exactly where that is.
Okay. Cool. I wanted to get your take on Expedia. I've been holding shares for a few years, done well, and your take with the CEO going over to Uber, what is the long-term outlook, do you think, as far as maybe me holding the shares or getting rid of them? What's your take?
Okay, Expedia Inc., everybody, EXPE, provides airline ticket, hotel room, car rental, vacation packages, and cruise services via Expedia.com and Hotels.com. They have made money. They've always made money for years and years and years. They've always increased their sales and increased their earnings. Sales have been increasing about 20% a quarter or more forever for the last couple of years, every quarter. Earnings have gone up 13% this year, then it's going to go up 30% next year to $6.66. Now, unlike Apple, it's not nearly as cheap. This is a P/E ratio of 32. Apple was, 18, 19. But they really do deserve a bigger P/E because of the steadiness of growth. I think, personally, as long as they can keep that growth up and they've been able to do it, and as long as they keep earnings moving up like this, I wouldn't be anxious to sell the stock, Paul. I wouldn't be anxious. I don't think I'd worry about the CEO leaving. I just don't. Unless the stock gets too big of your portfolio, Paul, then you could trim it, take some profits off the table. But otherwise, I just hold on to it. Okay?
Sounds good. Appreciate the advice.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. $9.45 cash flow to $22 billion company growing 20%? Come on. That's great. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Yesterday we talked about catching up at age 50. Of course, saving is the key most of the time. Starting is the hardest part, of course. But saving, that's where you got to start. You got to start saving. Let's talk about that. Tell us your method of saving. What are you doing? 888-99-CHARGE, how to get through right now. Retiring on your dividends. That's one of our talking points today. Also, I'm going to discuss simple rules for staying in or out of the market. And I'm talking about simple charting rules. And then I want to talk about charting. That's number two. Charting is not a science. But I want to talk about that. So some rules about how to stay in or out of the market using charting and then charting itself. And then I want to talk about CAR-T, C-A-R-T, therapy. Did you know that Novartis was the first to get approval for their CAR-T therapy? This is revolutionary, everybody. Revolutionary. Did you see how much it costs to have this therapy? Anyways, I want to talk about that, but I think it's revolutionary. I really do. And those are things we're going to discuss today. Unless you call and you want to talk about something else, you're going to be always first, as usual. The market was up today. Dow was up 57, the NASDAQ up 16, the S&P up 14. But you know, I've been reporting recently about up volume, stocks up on volume, and stocks down on volume. And I've been telling you that, you know, for several, almost most of the month of August, there was a lot more stocks down on volume than up on volume. And then this week, as of yesterday, I mentioned that they were pretty much even. Well, today, there are 115 stocks up on volume and 84 stocks down on volume, which is a much more bullish stance. But a couple of days don't mean a lot. But I do think it's interesting that we might be seeing a change. But it could be, you know, the market likes to fool as many people as it can. It really does. So we'll see. I just observing that, and I'm sharing my observation with you. And we'll see if it turns out to mean anything. Let's go to Lucas in Atlanta. How you doing, Lucas?
Doing pretty good, Steve. Thanks. Love the show, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So my question was, I got a small position. I got in the market, I think it was a week and a half ago. It's PMCI. It's in the West Coast in California. I think it does a couple of billion dollars a year. They just expanded to London. When I looked at the PE ratio and the growth and everything else, I thought it was going to be a good time to jump in.
What,
and I jumped in at 12.25.
What's the name of the company?
It's PMCI. It used to be PC Mall. They changed the name to it. It's PCM, I think, right now.
Okay. BMCI.
He isn't Paul. BMCI, yes, sir.
So I was given P as in Paul instead of B as
it,
in.
No, it is P. It is P as in Paul. I'm sorry.
P as in Paul. M as in Mary. C as in cat. And I as in I.
yes, sir.
I'm surprised. It's not coming up on any of my software. That's
oh, man, did I get?
I'm going to try to look it up during the break here, Lucas. I'll see if I can find
okay.
it. But I don't have. If you can come up with a better symbol or a different symbol, let me know. I'll be right back. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Get in touch. We have a line set aside just for you. 888-99-CHART. You reach me directly, 4 to 5 Pacific Time on Invest Talk. Lucas, are you still there? We found it. And I know you called and you gave us a proper symbol. It's PCMI, right? Okay, it's PCMI, everybody. PCMI is a symbol. It's out of El Segundo, California. It distributes technology, products, services, and solutions to businesses, government, education, and individual consumers. It's a very small company. It's a microcap. And every time you hear me say a microcap, you should always know it's immediately. Lucas, are you there?
I'm right here, Steve. Thank you.
Okay. So we got the right stock. And I just said it's a small cap, $165 million. So whenever I say that, you know it's dangerous. I don't want to say dangerous. It has a lot more risk. This stock has been growing very fast, except for the most recent quarter. Most recent quarter, sales went down 4%. Before that, sales were pretty strong, so I'm not sure why. Earnings are going to go up $2 a share this year, then $2.27 a share next year. And they announced this month repurchasing 10 million shares of theirs taken out of the float, and that equals to about 7% of their stock. Which is
That's big.
That's a lot. Yeah. And so I'm going to say that the stock is very undervalued right here. Okay? It's going to make $2.27, a $13 stock. That's 6-7 PE. And no matter, even though it's high risk, it might be a good risk at this price.
Got
so,
it.
Okay?
Very good.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. That is... PCMI. Let's go to Rogi in Fremont. How are you doing, Rogi?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for the call.
I have a question actually on real estate. I live in Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and I wanted to buy my primary residence. I was wondering if it's a good time to buy or, you expect prices to come down by 10-15% over the next some time.
Well, the only time that the real estate is going to fall in the Bay Area is when we hit the next recession. I don't see it falling. And those people who are not familiar with the Bay Area, it's all because of Silicon Valley, which is part of the Bay Area. Silicon Valley is pushing prices up everywhere in the Bay Area, just tremendously, and it continues to do so. And most people will say, well, it's got to be in a bubble because they've been pushing up and up and up. And I don't see the bubble. Yes, they're insane, right, Rishi? They're insane, the prices. I mean, but they have so much pressure from Silicon Valley continually to expanding, and they don't have enough housing. So Rishi, I don't see it stopping anytime soon until we have a recession. When we get the recession, it'll probably go down 10, 15, maybe 20%, and then it's going to march right back up again. That's it. End of story. I can't. It's hard to believe that it can be this price, but the pressure is still on. The pressure is still on. So you got to just decide what you want to do. It's a tough decision because you know you're way overpaying for property that you think should not be this expensive. I mean, I looked at well over $1 million for a very small home in San Jose that's, 40 years old on a postage stamp lot. That's $1 million. I mean, it's old.
Yep.
you're going to have to bite the bullet if you want to buy real estate. I don't see it falling unless we go into recession. Then that would be the opportunity for you. Okay?
Yep. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Raji. It's just insane up there, everybody. And of course, real estate prices are high, no matter what you say. And maybe we'll get a pullback. But Silicon Valley, it's kind of a market unto itself. It's hard to... In the last crash, which was all real estate driven, the prices in San Jose went down 10, 15%. Maybe at most 20 at certain places. And then a couple of years later, rebounded right back. That's Silicon Valley. In some places in Southern California, they've lost 50% in that time. And they're just now approaching that in some places. San Jose area, very different. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, you've worked hard, you saved money, you invested properly, and now you're in retirement. Now, the rule of thumb everybody goes by about how much money you can take out of your assets and never run out is about 4%, 4.5%. And it's a good rule of thumb. Okay. And most people say, well, you should have bonds and stocks because the bonds give you income and stocks give you growth in retirement. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is totally true. But most people don't want to have that much exposure to stocks. Don't. So the question is what can you live off? Well, can you live off the dividends and just not worry about the stocks? Or the dividends plus dividends from the stocks and yields from the bonds? Are they going to give you 4, 4.5? It's very difficult to get 4, but you can get 4 right now. So it always reverts back to how comfortable are you in touching your principal going into retirement? And how comfortable, how much risk do you want to take in retirement? Here's something not to save, your questions. Let's hear from you. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. One of the main lessons for investors in 2008, stop trying to time the market. How many people got out and stayed out? Well, Steve and staff at KPP Financial employ the latest investing technology guided by years of experience in finding opportunity and moderating risk for their clients, investing right along with their clients. KPP didn't get out of the market. They were defensive, but they stayed with the market. Long term, that's the safest place to be. That's the main lesson you should learn. If you'd like help with the ins and outs of today's market, look at the series of investment programs for all life situations from KPP Financial. When you're ready, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. Now let's get back to the podcast. Invest Talk continues. We remind you of some of the resources available to our Invest Talk insiders. Steve has prepared a short ETF list. Sign up and get it for free right now on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, quickly, back to the main talking point here, everybody. You know, how to live off your dividends. You can measure the dividends pretty clearly. But when you're buying a dividend-paying stock, make sure that that dividend is growing. That's the best part about dividend-paying stocks in retirement. They can stay ahead of inflation. And, you know, inflation, remember, if you retire at your 65, you're going to probably live to your 90 years old. That's very common. You got a many years, 25 years of living off your investments. Living off your Social Security, living off your pension, whatever you're getting, you have that much time. And over that time, no matter how small inflation is, it will eat into your buying power unless you keep up with it. Now, Social Security has COLA, cost of living adjustments, so they'll keep up a little bit with inflation, but they don't seem to quite match what inflation is. And your investments can exceed inflation, but you got that double-edged sword about not taking too much risk. So dividend-paying stocks and dividend-paying companies that have a history of increasing their dividends usually exceeds inflation. And you got to make that part of the equation when you decide to live off your investments. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Glenn in Pleasanton. How you doing, Big Glenn?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Well, you led into my question perfectly about dividends and about high risk that may be worth it. My question is about MBT. Barry Boy Tom.
MBT.
It's a telecom company out of the Soviet Union and Ukraine, paying a very high dividend and has a really low P.E. ratio.
Okay, yeah, it's Mobile Telesystems ADR, American Depository Receipt, meaning you can buy and sell it on our exchange, the New York Stock Exchange. And I think I've mentioned it before several times, what an ADR. That means what they do is they have to comply with our GAAP rules, and the New York Stock Exchange checks out their data, their balance sheets, and all those things, and how good of a job they do, that's, you know, who knows. But they do have to comply with our rules to be listed on our exchanges and ADR, and a bank has to support that stock. Okay, now let's look at the earnings. They're going to make 98 cents a share. It's a $9.99 stock. They're going to make 98 cents a share this year. That's 18% more than last year. Next year, they're going to make $1.09. That's another 11%. And the dividend yield is about 7%. And you know, Glenn, I think they're going to keep that up. I do. Because they can afford it on that kind of stock. Your biggest risk, Glenn, here is political, not necessarily the company itself. It's the politics. You know, Russia versus U.S. You know,
yeah.
I think that's where your biggest risk. It's a political risk. Everything else looks pretty solid on the company. The company itself has really good fundamentals. You know, I will tell you this. I don't necessarily trust the Russian government because they can come. I just remember years and years and years ago, you probably don't remember, Yukos Oil. Do you remember that company?
No.
It was their largest private oil company in Russia and traded on our exchange. And the CEO wanted to run against Putin. And guess where the CEO is today? He's in jail.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, he's in jail. So, and guess what? His company was said they owed, so many billions in back taxes. They owed more in taxes than the company's sales. How's that possible?
Oh,
how is that possible? That's one of the problems with Russia. Their rule of, they don't follow the rule of law. They follow the rule of Putin, whatever he says.
Yeah.
But there's your biggest danger, is political, as I said. But the company itself looks really solid. It's MBT, everybody, Mobile Telecom. Good luck with it, Glenn. I hope it works for you. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How are you doing, BJ?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Steve, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want your views on Microsoft.
Okay.
Do you see any upside potential, and what will be a recommended entry point?
Okay. Microsoft has just marched up and up and up and up. I mean, it's been very consistent. It made its new 52-week high today. One of the main drivers in the last couple of days of the Dow. If you didn't have Microsoft, you didn't have a very good day if you owned the rest of the Dow stocks. But develops, you know, everybody knows who Microsoft is. I won't describe it. They're going to make $3.21 this year. $3.30 this year, $3.21 next year, and then rebound the year after to $3.61 a share. And it's a $74 stock. So it's not cheap, and sales are accelerating. If you want to buy Microsoft, I think you want to buy it on some kind of pullback. And I'm looking at the sides of the dips that it has. And those dips are not very big. So if you get a dip down to $69 or so, I think that would be a buy point for Microsoft. It's at 74 right now. Even at 70.
Any chances of increasing your dividend?
Oh, yeah. Microsoft has plenty of cash flow, plenty of profits to increase the dividend. They're a $74 stock, and the cash flow is $4.50. They pay 2% dividend, and that's only, what, $1.40, $1.50? See, so they got, it's like less than a 50, 60% payout ratio. So, yeah, they have plenty of room to increase dividends, BJ.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's Microsoft, MSFT, everybody, MSFT. Okay, let's talk about simple rules for staying in the market, in or out of the market. One of the simplest long-term signal for, if you're looking at charts, is the 200-day moving average. As long as the indexes, major indexes, are above the 200-day moving average, you stay in the market. They go below 200-day moving average, you get out. And the 200 days essentially is a one-year moving average because you got all those Saturdays and Sundays and holidays. There's no trading. So it's about, this is a very simple old-time rule that's pretty consistent. Now, of course, the S&P and the Dow did not break down below the 200-day moving average. But you do know the Russell 2000 broke below the 200-day moving average on August 17th, and then back up just this Wednesday, above the 200-day moving average. So Russell 2000, a much broader index, and I'm just pointing out that the Russell 2000, if you had bought that index at the beginning of the year, you would be flat for the year. So don't feel bad if you haven't made a lot of money this year. No one has. It's rare. Because the market has not been very good this year, despite the S&P and the Dow. Remember, all the movement up in the Dow for July, I think, was all due to Boeing. If you didn't own Boeing, no up movement in the Dow. August month is pretty much flat. Tomorrow, they'll tell us tomorrow. The August month has been the worst month for the Dow and the S&P this year. They've been down a little bit. Our free risk analysis tool not only evaluates and quantifies your risk tolerance, it's also the first step in determining if your current retirement portfolio, with its mix of stocks, funds, bonds, and cash, is exposing you to too much risk, maybe more risk than you want. You kind of have a way to measure how much risk you want and how much risk you're taking, and we have the tools for that. It's easy to use, too, and it's free. Just visit investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then look for the free risk analysis.
Our Invest Talk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Let's go to Dave in Mountain View. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, doing good.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, question about Harvey and its impact on oil. And
well,
if you get a chance on Hertz.
Okay, well, oil will go up because of Harvey, but that's going to be a very short term, and I think it's already built in the market already. I don't think you're going to have much more upside potential. Now it's a matter of fixing everything and getting it back and operating. I just don't see it having that big of an impact. It's already had the impact it's going to have. I don't think you can play it, Dave. In other words, I don't think you can, like, well, how can I make some money in a short term based on this? I don't think it's going to be possible. And what was it? You want it Hertz?
Yeah, HTZ.
What's the symbol?
HTZ.
Okay, HTZ. Hertz Global Holdings, everybody. Hertz. And I'm sure everybody knows that that's the rental car company. It is a $1.8 billion company, so it's a small cap, believe it or not. Not a big one. They're going to lose $1.63 this year. That's very painful. And then they're going to rebound next year and make 6 cents per share. It's a $21.74 stock. So what you're seeing here, HTZ, I'm punching in different software. What you're seeing here, you've already saw the bottom under $10, and now it's making a recovery. The bottom hit June, July. Everybody anticipated the loss. I personally would not buy this. Sales have been falling 2%, 3% per quarter for almost 2 years now. There's nothing that tells me that it should get, you know, much higher. I think you're going to see it hitting some pretty good resistance right around $22, $23. It's at $21.74. So it's right there. I think it's too late. When it was below 10 was the time to buy it. I think you're too late to the game. And it doesn't deserve a much higher price because of the earnings. So I would stay away from it, Dave. I would. Thank you for the call. All appreciate right. It. Thank you. 888-99-CHART. Let's take a question from our 24-hour listener line. Pick up, you know, when they call, we try to get to them as fast as we can. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. This is John calling from Kentucky. I was just calling because I have a question and a suggestion, so to speak. I have purchased Guild Science, ticker symbol GILD, when it was at $62, and right now they've been at an upsurge, and I just want to get your thoughts on that. The second thing is I just finished up school, and I'm interested in pursuing a career as a financial advisor. Just your advice on that, and love the show. Thank you.
Okay, Gilead scientists, we've talked about this before. They spent $10 billion to buy, what was the name of that company? Kite Pharmaceuticals, I think it was. Kite, K-I-T-E. Why do they spend so much money on Kite Pharmaceuticals? Well, was it close to $11 billion? $10, $11 billion, something like that. And remember, they're $109 billion stock themselves, Gilead Sciences. And the price of the stock was pretty reasonable based on their earnings, Gilead, without this purchase. Well, this goes to CAR-T therapy, which is one of my talking points. That's what this goes to. So Gilead popped up from $74 to $84 in 3 days. Most of that moved because of this purchase. Remember, a company spending $10 billion, and it shoots up. Why would it do that? Because I think there's specific reasons for that. I mean, if you look at it, CAR-T therapy, which was the first time Novartis has the first one FDA approved of today, it's a cancer treatment. And what it does is it takes your blood, takes blood out of you, takes the T cells out of your blood, re-engineer them to fight cancer cells, and put it back in you. Your T cells. And then you can fight, and they've had pretty, the tests have been pretty impressive, especially for young people. That treatment from Novartis, they really reduced the price, almost cut it in half than the experts thought they were going to cost, is $475,000 for that treatment. $475,000 for like a 30-day treatment regime. But it's specifically targeted to you. So Gilead bought Kite. What did Kite do? Well, they're very close to having the same treatment approved by the FDA. They haven't got it approved, but they are. And, of course, that's the new frontier for curing certain diseases, using your own T cells from your own blood, boosting them, re-engineering them, putting it back in your body, and let it go to work to kill the cancer cells or any other kind of cells that you want to kill. Pretty exciting stuff in the medical field, that's what I think. It'll be very, very interesting. Well, that's why they paid $11 billion, Gilead. They think this is going to be big, and I think they're probably right. I think it's going to be big. Remember, the company they bought hasn't made a cent on this treatment because they haven't got it approved yet. But looks like they're on the cusp. You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're listening to you 25 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can ask your question anytime. We can talk together live, 4 to 5 Pacific time. And I will get to the second part of your question here in a minute. We'll try to get your questions if you call. 888-99-CHART. Okay, thank you for coming back, everybody. And the second part of the question before we talked about Gilead he wanted to know what was the best way to get in the money management business. And I'm going to tell you that it's pretty difficult, that you have to kind of start at the bottom somewhere. And you go to the big firms, and they'll have you pounding phones all day long for a year until you get burned out. That's how they usually work. But the best way is to find a small operation and see if they need some help. But it's going to be difficult, just letting you know. Okay, I want to talk about charting. Okay, and I said this many, many, many times, and I just want to make sure we repeat it. Charting is not a science. It only tends to be true. The support and resistance on the price of a stock, and when I say, oh, it's that support or resistance, it only happens at support and resistance points because we expect it to happen. Why do we expect it to happen? Because when we notice those points in past, it always seemed to tend to happen. In other words, stop going down at this price, stop going up at this price. And that's only because everybody else looking at the same chart, making the same reaction. We're doing it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We make it happen. There's no magic about it. There's no magic bullet, tricks, or formulas, or anything like that. You can. So charting, just remember, it just tends to be happening because we make it happen. So don't, you know, support and resistance can be there on the chart and mean absolutely nothing sometimes. And you're saying, hey, I read that chart like it's supposed to, and look what happened. Yeah, that's true. It tends to be true. It's not always true. It's much better, therefore, to buy stocks using fundamentals. Fundamentals are the nuts and bolts of the company. How much sales did it have? What's their profit margin? How much? What's their growth rate? What's their balance sheet look like? Those fundamental things. What's their return on equity and return on asset? Those fundamental things. Those fundamental things are what you can rely on. Now, when I say rely on, you're trying to deal with facts here. And the facts are something that you could say, okay, they had this much sales and this much profit, and so on and so forth. And charting, it just tends to be true. We have time for one more question before we're done for the day. 888-99-CHARGE, how you reach us between programs.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks very much for doing it. This is Dexter up in Northern California. My question is about Chesapeake, CHK. This thing's been dropping like a stone, and I don't own any currently. Just want to see if there's any point you guys would consider picking up a few shares. All right. Thanks a lot.
Chesapeake Energy Corporation, headquarters out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, engaged in exploration, production of natural gas and crude oil properties throughout the United States. And then you just wonder how much of this price was recently affected by the storm down there. They're going to make 75 cents this year after losing money for the last couple of years. And then they're going to make 80 cents next year. It's a $3.64 stock. So, and sales have finally turned around most recent quarters. So it's still falling. I think it looks like a value stock now. And I noted insiders are buying. This is probably where it will probably stop falling, but it's still too premature. For instance, it stopped falling at around $4.75, $5. And it went up and down in a month and a half, and then broke down. Now it's at $3.64. So you want to at least give yourself the possibility that this is a bottom by watching it chatter down here at this low price. From a value point of view, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. I would have to look at more of the fundamentals to really give you an answer, because I want to know why is your sales turned around? Why has your earnings turned around? What did you do to make that happen? And I want to take a close look at their debt levels. Okay, but CHK, Chesapeake Energy, looks like it's pretty close to a bottom to me, as long as they don't go out of business. Time's up for the hour. A reminder, no matter where you live in the United States, you can avail yourself of a free retirement account analysis. It's really pretty easy to set up. Also, if you live in the San Jose area, I'll be there again for individual. I'm there every month. I'll be there on September 27th. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, then portfolio review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody, the whole KPP family, thanks for being with me today. And join up again tomorrow on Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.